Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, you've got Ian. Hi, I'm Ian. And we've got Zach.
Hi, I'm Ian.
That never gets old. And we're going to talk about a variety of things. We're going to also probably just go ahead and hammer through, get it hammered, as in hungover. Talk about The Hangover, the Todd Phillips comedy with Zach Galifianakis, who recently starred in Visioneers, which I didn't see. I don't know if anybody saw it.
No.
It was a pretty indie...
You probably just told most people about it for the first time.
Maybe. I heard about it from Film Junk. Not directly. I'm not on that level. I don't communicate with them directly, other than
you
tweets.
Do, but they don't communicate back directly, right? You leave a lot of... You drop a whole lot of comments in there.
And yeah. Yeah, I'm not big enough.
Gaping
laws. I'm not big enough yet. One of these days. That's my dream, really, it is.
To be big enough?
Oh, yeah. You know how, like, people talk about, like, meeting celebrities and stuff? For me, I would rather just want to meet people that do podcasts I listen to, because I think they'd be cool to hang
out
with.
You know,
that's
I don't know if Film Junk does it, but Slash Film actually does a lot of their film podcasts with other podcasters from other film podcast sites.
Oh,
They'll invite them in to do it.
The movie club that Film Junk does with people from, like, Row 3 and stuff, I guess, and it's through Skype. Yeah, one day I would like to be worthy of being invited onto one of those. Possibly to talk about something like Commando.
Do you think you would be able to keep yourself from stepping all over the hosts?
No, I would be...
You're like, excuse me there, Chris. I'd like to talk to you about something you just said that's not quite an accurate term.
Is that how I am?
I think you might have dropped a few of those in there. You'd have to straighten your monocle out while you said
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh. No, I mean... Link, link. Gosh, that's why the women don't like me, probably, right? Because I'm always interrupting them with how they're incorrecting their grammar.
Listen, I've read about how a period works, and the way you just described it is not accurate.
Yes.
And you have to say it like Thurston Howell III.
Uh-huh. Honey bunny. Anyhow, let's get focused again.
Focus.
So you saw The Hangover, I didn't. This was, like you said, this was a weird week for summer movies because it was kind of a dead week.
It wasn't a dead week, though, because The Hangover made a buttload of money.
Yeah, but in terms of, like,
still
blockbusters...
still finished in second to, whatchamacallit?
Terminator 4?
I'm just going to have to look it up while I'm
talking
about it.
Yeah, it was something dumb, right?
These were actually... they expected Land of the Lost to be a big deal. They really did. And I assume that any time some sort of... There's always a tentpole rated R... summer comedy since the advent of 40-Year-Old Virgin,
yeah,
which really kind of blew the roof off the idea that you had to do a PG-13 deal. Since then, they've been waiting for something like this every summer, and I think this was kind of supposed to be the one that was supposed to be like that. You know, people knew as they're watching the advertisement that it's the guy who did Old School. Old School was one of the most popular, for better or worse, rated R comedies in a while. This is Wedding Crashers, for better or worse, you know. For most of those, you can say for better or worse.
Yeah,
anything that
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I like bits and pieces of each of those things, but
so do I.
More scary is the fact that Todd Phillips, the director of The Hangover, what he'd been known for in the past was The Hangover did end up beating Up. Up was the actually so Up has made a huge amount of money because it actually finished. Less than a million under The Hangover at 44.1, and The Hangover was 45 million over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
So Up really did well, has done fantastically. I'm glad for Pixar that this keeps happening, because despite the incongruencies of theme and whatever they do, people are starting to fully support this, which is great, because then, you know...
Good stories.
Yeah, if you're supporting good stories, then, you know, that's good, because these guys are going to keep... being able to go on and make good stuff.
We at the Futile Podcast enjoy good stories first and foremost.
Heck yeah, man. You know, I think it's probably why I'm such a huge fan of Red Dawn.
It's a great story. Why I'm such a big fan of 80s movies, because even if they're not that great a movie, they at least have, like, a coherent story more often than not, to the degree where these 90s action movies, especially even some of these bigger ones, just don't even bother with that. Like, Terminator 2, you know, not technically an 80s movie, but sort of technically an 80s
tail
movie.
Tail end.
Yeah. It works. Everything makes sense. Motivations make sense, you know, for everything to happen. And in some of these more recent movies, it's just... I don't know. I just hate those movies where... You talk about, like, a comedy that isn't funny, mm-hmm. and how it's just embarrassing. For me, like... an action movie that doesn't have like a cohesive story, if I really was sincerely wanting it to be good, that's embarrassing. Like, I was embarrassed by Godzilla. I really was like looking forward to a new Godzilla movie when that came out. I was like, this is terrible.
I'm embarrassed by how crappy this is. After the whole thing was done, I was actually kind of while I was watching it, I was like, wow, this is such a spectacle. And then when it was finished, I was like, yeah, it really wasn't that good.
No, I was never embarrassed by it.
The things I've been embarrassed by how bad they were. Well, first of all,
Robin Williams movies, Patch Adams.
I don't go see those.
Yeah.
the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever seen in my life,
Jack,
was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Aliens.
Mm.
And that really killed me. It hurt me. It wounded me physically. When it first started, I was like, yay, yay. And I felt like everyone in the audience was screaming and pumping uh-huh. their fists and stuff. And it just kept going on. I don't know I didn't feel if anyone else was getting it, except for me and Ryan and Blaine. Michael was probably too drunk. But
That's often the case.
I don't even know if he'd been drinking, but he had carried it over from the day before.
Probably.
And by halfway through, I was like, this is really one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I cannot believe it. I was stunned out of my mind.
I was more hateful for the fact that everyone had already kind of, even without telling me anything, kind of put that there and just sort of said, you know what? It's not worth seeing. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I have to see this movie on my own. And so even without that, I don't know, I would say that like as soon as he's running around blowing dust in the warehouse, like
yeah.
5 minutes in,
yeah.
I'm just kind of like, you know, he's just kind of doddering. He's like, okay, it's magnetic. It needs to be.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not the way.
There was just something about the way it was filmed.
They burped it out wrong from the get-go, and it was like,
the way the first three were shot.
It couldn't
shot,
be a good meal
the
that
way. The first three were shot, it was like, you know what? We're going to throw you into real outdoor locations. And did you notice that, I mean, the fourth one was almost all sets. It really was almost all sets and then some CGI background stuff. And the first three never went there. Like, you know, they put them on a beach with a bunch of birds and a plane coming at them. And they put them in the desert. And they put them in a place with a tank and, you know, stuff like that. They put them there and there was real dust on things. And this one from the get-go was like, when you see his shadow on the car and he picks up his hat and stuff, it's like, well, that shadow is really kind of strong. I wonder what kind of light they're using on him there, you know? Like,
big HMI.
Yeah, it was like Spielberg just kind of... There's times when I feel like he's presented, you know, like, hey, you know, all the fanboys want another movie. He's like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And then I feel like he's just kind of there, like, looking at his... checking out his nails and stuff during the filming of it.
He's
like,
doing the Gus Van Sant thing.
Kind of.
Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just counting his money. He's like, kind of busy over here, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, The Hangover.
Yeah, but no sequitur whatsoever.
Anyway, after Indiana Jones 4, I felt like I was drunk. Mm-hmm. The Hangover, is that better?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Take two.
Take two. The Hangover is... it was utterly full of spite for the audience.
Really? The audience?
For the audience. Because it's the thing where...
Was it? You said it was kind of mean-spirited. Is it just kind of doing that, like, borrowing from Family Guy and recent American comedy stuff?
Family Guy, be it mean-spirited and whatever it is, generally also has a great deal of enthusiasm behind it.
Okay.
And this was not, mostly from the performers, was enthusiasm-free. I gotta say, I like Bradley Cooper. He's just kind of like, you know, he's one of those guys who's got the charm and stuff.
He's face man.
I don't like Ed Helms, and he really wasn't given anything to work with in this. I love Galifianakis on his own, and
Gravy Robbers.
Yeah, he had to win me over, which he did, but by then it was too late. The I got to tell you, the real best performance in this, and I've told a few people this, and they were psyched about it. Screw the baby, screw the tiger, screw all the bullcrap that was in the trailers. It's uh-huh. garbage. The funniest guy was Ken Jeong, who is a character actor who's been in a bunch of Apatow stuff now. He in Knocked Up, he was the angry, mean gynecologist by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was utterly brilliant. He was really fantastically hilarious.
What was his role in the film?
He was some Chinese mobster guy who you and like the plot doesn't matter in the movie. Like it goes from one thing to another. Like, well, I wonder if we can find our friend by doing this, uh-huh. and then something ridiculous happens. But eventually, at one point, they open the back of a car that they lives an impound. And he hops out. He's completely naked. You see his dick and his balls and everything.
Because that's
and
the way things roll.
That's the thing roll these days.
Yeah.
And for some reason he's attacking them with like a cane, and he's doing some like martial arts moves. And he doesn't talk. He just attacks them all in a crazy manner. And then later when he shows up, he's doing this hilarious like kind of gay Chinese mobster thing where he talks with his hands a lot like this, and he holds them like this while he talks. Like he's
like a T-Rex?
A little bit, like kind of this, like,
well, what is it? Very funny. What is the thing they say in football when you do that? You're gator arming it?
Yeah. But it's not quite that. It's like, it's the thing that like you would imagine Nero did as he was burning Christians, yes, you know, like holding a thing of grapes. So this is quite droll. That's what we're doing. And he has the, not only the, probably the best lines, but just the way he deals with it is like, that's how you're supposed to act in a comedy. It's not...
Do you think the other guys felt like they were above the material?
No, I feel like they were directed poorly. This is definitely on Todd Phillips in this case. Bradley Cooper, really his only other examples of like comedic roles in terms of something that's supposed to be... If you got a tentpole rated R comedy, it's supposed to be mainstream and accessible. Wedding Crashers was that sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the very... You know, when you're playing a bad guy, it's maybe easier.
Mm.
In this case, he's someone who's, like, got some layers, and he seems like this certain person, and turns out he's kind of more, you know, he's kind of more respectable than he seems by the end of it. But his is, like, a dramatic character that has no place in a movie like this.
Well, he's supposed to be... Because this is ostensibly... I mean, I don't know, It sounds like I'll create the term. It sounds like it's a douche comedy. That is to say that douchebags go and they love this kind of stuff because they see a couple of their nerdlinger friends and then they identify with the Bradley Cooper guy, right? Like, is he like the main guy standing up? Because no one's watching this thinking, I want to be like Ed Helms, the loser from The Office, or I want to be like that beardly weird guy. They're thinking, no, I'm like Bradley Cooper, right? Yeah, I'm great. I got my Axe body spray. Right. Did you get a free one of those when you went and saw it?
Like no. T4, they gave us the little the deodorants. That was awesome. I've tried using it a few times. It's just not that strong. I don't generally use any perspirant because of my cancer fears.
Because
it's got, you know, aluminum
sulfide. Yes, aluminum. Yeah, that's more for Alzheimer's, actually.
Well, it's got the cancer deal also.
Okay,
anything with aluminum in it. You don't want to scrape the aluminum off of an aluminum can, for instance.
I know. I try not to do that. So that sounds like the motivation for the Bradley Cooper character maybe being a little flatter and a little more straight.
You know, you get his character from the beginning. He's a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends all his kids on their way. And he goes, listen, I need all your cash right now for the field trip next week. So all these kids give him their cash. And after they leave the room, he takes it and puts it in the Vegas trip thing and then bails. And then a bunch of kids are like, hey, excuse me, mister. And he's like, school's over. I don't know you. Don't talk to me. And he jumps in the car and he's the jerk. And he's the one who's laid back and fun loving. And every time anyone complains about something, he's like, listen, calm down. You can't be so, you know, that. And then later on, you know, she has more responsibility. Not really. I don't know. The main problem is that every single time any of these characters open their mouths, be them from the widely different backgrounds they are, which is always kind of fake thing where you throw characters that are so far different apart as friends, it doesn't normally happen that way in real life.
They're all friends with the guy that's the groom, right?
Ed Helms, the groom, which is the Justin Bartha, the guy who's the sidekick in the National Treasure movies.
Really?
Yeah. Helms, and Cooper are best buddies, and then Galifianakis is Alan, the brother of the girl that Bartha is marrying. So they're kind of bringing him along just because they have to. Mm-hmm. He's crazy. In the beginning, they go to pick up Bradley Cooper, and he's staring at the kids, and he's like, oh, I really shouldn't be here. And they're like, why? He's like, I'm not allowed within 200 feet of a school. Like, he's a creep. He's a weird creep, you know?
Of course.
The best character, though. Like, and he ends up, by the end of it, he's like copying every line Bradley Cooper gives because he really wants to be like this guy, and it's just dumb.
Of course, it's douche humor. It's like take the weirdo, make him the pedophile, and then everyone will laugh at him.
The thing is, they just use that as a joke because he's not a pedophile. Anyway, there's intrinsic things wrong with the plot. Beyond that, if it had been funny, that's all forgivable.
That's usually how it works for the comedy, yeah.
But you got no main character, so there's really nothing to base things off of. There's no real straight man because they all have the same lines, which is just like constant swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Galifianakis, who it kind of in a humorous way doesn't. He says, "Gosh darn it all to heck," and "fudge this," and things like that. And then they just go on these. There's these tangents. They get arrested by some police for stealing a cop car, which they didn't know they did, and they get tasered in the face. And
you're just kind of waiting for that stuff to get over with, so then maybe the funny can start.
Well, you kind of wait for it all to get over with, so you can leave, basically.
Wow.
And it just never got. I mean, I laughed once or twice, mostly at Ken Jeong parts and a couple of lines by Galifianakis, but most of it was just like I don't know. And some people, and, you know, Kristen laughed through. I think she mostly enjoyed it, but. But it was, you know, it was a foul, hateful, unfunny comedy. If that sounds fun, go check it out. What do you think?
No, I know what you mean. At a certain point, I get sick of the comedy where it's just like everybody is dislikable. I mean, I can get behind some of the Jody Hill stuff to a degree, but like I had a problem even with
the Jody Hill stuff is different.
Observe and report,
because you take one character who's that way, the rest of them aren't that way. This is all. This whole movie is even the characters that aren't supposed to be like Bradley Cooper's character, or whatever character is the most, I don't know, the most self-serving and stuff. Like a Jodie Hill character is basically a Will Ferrell character that's put in a darker situation, and all it is it's a man child who, desperate to grow up in whatever way he's doing, basically freaks out like a baby until he gets what he wants. That's the old Will Ferrell tried and true thing.
Yeah, exactly.
This was not that sort of thing. It's all of the characters are equally just, I almost want to say, like, pointless.
Well, that's because there's no lesson, right? There's no need for them to have to grow up.
No, they all grow up a tiny little bit, not much. I mean, there's definitely no sort of like moral to this.
Yeah, it's not like even that. It's not like the Apatow stuff where he always gives his like moralistic, like, now you need to grow up and move out with your idiot friends and get a real job.
It's just like every time they bring in a new character or something like that. Like, there's, remember the guy who did the Cabana Boy in Mad TV years and years ago?
Yeah, I do.
So this guy's apparently still alive. He shows up in a part, and you're like, oh, it's that guy. Maybe he'll have some funny lines. No. He's in it for 10 minutes. He goes away. Doesn't say a single funny thing once, even though he's got some accent for some reason.
That wasn't Michael Bolton, right?
No, it's not Michael Bolton.
Dude, I always thought Michael Bolton got the short
end. That guy's decent.
That guy should be in more stuff.
And then, like, Mike Epps is in it. For about 10 minutes, there's a mix up. They think maybe the Chinese gangsters have their friend Doug. Mm-hmm. Turns out it's this other guy Doug, and it happens to be the Doug who sold them roofies the night before, which is why they can't remember anything. If they thought it was ecstasy, turns out it was roofies, and he's utterly wasted because that guy, despite how stupid a lot of like his movies are. You know, he can do some funny stuff. He's got some decent delivery and stuff, and they waste him. Like, the lines that are given to the good people are mostly wasted. And everyone else is like, you can almost hear Todd Phillips behind the camera go, listen, what you're saying isn't funny enough. Why don't you scream it and swear some more? That's it, man. And I don't know. You wanted to say something about Todd Phillips when you heard that, you know, when you mentioned that I was going to talk about him as a director being a problem. And you said you want to talk some more. Give me some Todd Phillips stuff
here. I don't know. I would say that everybody loved Old School, like, and I was just like, I saw it and I was like, Mediocre City.
It was like, there's some decent stuff. Maybe people raised the Will Ferrell character to some pantheon, great character, fantastic acting. I thought his was the most overblown.
I thought the funniest part of the Will Ferrell character was him, like, being all partied out with people talking about stuff, and then talking about how his plan the next day with him and his wife. Like, yeah, it's Saturday. Probably gonna have to go to Home Depot, you know, maybe get some stuff, you know, like, right. Like the domestic. That was, like, the funniest thing. I didn't think, like, do people, like, in droves sit in an audience and just laugh their ass off at, like, a guy walking naked drunk on, woo?
Yeah.
That's funny to people.
Most people.
That alone is just kind of boring to me. It's like the equivalent to the gun fight that sometimes is just, if it's not well executed or interesting looking,
oh, yeah,
or there's not interesting, you know, if it's not an interesting environment, gunfights are kind of like wait for them to get over, you know?
It's the same thing. I mean, anything done well is fine. Anything done badly is poor. It's exactly. The old, like, you know, you can watch any number of Jackie Chan movies that have fantastic choreography, despite what you feel about any sort of Chinese kung fu film. you will be entertained by a well-choreographed Jackie Chan movie because the fighting is so utterly mind-blowing. As you're watching it, you're stunned and your adrenaline starts pumping and your heart rate raises. And a poorly done, any sort of poorly done martial arts deal is torture to watch.
Well, that's just it, though. Like, I mean, I'll get on board for the, like, the brutal and realistic cinema verite pseudo, you know, stuff to a degree with, like, the Bourne stuff. But at a certain point, like, that's not good choreography. That's not good. That's not exciting fighting to watch, just to watch shaky cam and a bazillion cuts, you know? Like, I just, I don't know. And here's, it's my here's big discrepancy with the general audience, it seems, is like, I'm not as into old school. I'm not as into the Bourne movies action and for comedy. I just, I don't know, I'm falling flat. Or I'm
when you become a connoisseur of something, as you are with the visual arts, this becomes something where you're going to notice this in any Todd Phillips thing. Starsky and Hutch, after I watched The Hangover, I finally got what I didn't like about all the stuff he's come out with before, is that, I mean, who knows how many good scripts he has butchered. The problem is this. He doesn't know how to direct anyone saying a punchline. Hmm. Have you seen Hot Rod?
Yeah.
It's mindlessly stupid. It's as far as comedies go, it might be one of the most pointless, stupid films ever made.
Well, you aptly described it, I think, as like a 90-minute Conan O'Brien sketch.
Basically. But here's the thing. They knew that's what it was. And so you direct... Akiva Schaffer is a great comedic director already. He's made one thing and a handful of videos and then a bunch of Saturday Night Live digital shorts. The trick is, every terrible line you have, you do like a medium shot of a face and you edit it correctly so that every single thing anyone says is a punchline. And even if it's not that funny, you're like, what the heck did that guy just say? And Todd Phillips is like, wide shots of people saying something that's supposed to be funny in a deadpan... It's not deadpan, because deadpan is funny. It's just like a dead voice. It's a dead, dull voice. Old school, if you think about who's in old school...
I think both of those can be effective in the right ways and in the right context.
But Todd Phillips can't do it, and I think what he's doing wrong is there's no punchline. Even if a punchline is written, it's not delivered as that's the way. And that's not the actor's fault, because Vince Vaughn has been good in things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's much better than the Owen Wilson character in Wedding Crashers, but in old school, he's forgettable. I almost forget that he's in it when I think about people. I know Luke Wilson's in it. I know that Will Ferrell's in it. Then I'm like, who's the other guy? You should never think that about Vince Vaughn. The guy's like... all charisma.
Yeah,
even if it's not good, you can't deny that he's charismatic. And, you know, he's able to sell his stuff in anything that Todd Phillips hasn't directed. And Road Trip is like that. I recently watched Road Trip again, and it's just humorless. I might have thought it was funny when I was 18 or whenever it came out, 20, whatever it was. And it's just, I watched it again, and it's just nothing in it is funny at all. There's nothing that's funny in it.
I'll be honest, I hate to sound, like, really pretentious, but...
A little too late.
Yeah, exactly. Too late.
Too late, like, years ago.
Years ago. It's tough to get a real laugh out of me, I think, in comedies. Or, yeah, but not in horrors.
I've seen you laugh a lot at Brian Dennehy things.
No. that stuff is delightful. But, I mean, like, you know, you sit down to watch a comedy, and you're like, you know what, I'm paying my money, I want to laugh. You've already decided you want to be in a good mood, usually. And so, a lot of times, a joke comes up, and you're like, oh, that's funny, I guess I'll decide to laugh. You know what I mean? It's like the difference between deciding to laugh and something just making you laugh. Yeah. And I would say maybe...
That's the difference.
Stuff makes me laugh maybe about 5 to 10 times a year.
I'll tell you what it comes down to. Anything you decide to laugh at means it's well-written. Anything you gut laugh at is performance-based. It's delivery-based. That means the talent, the performer, doing the deal, sold it to you. You can read a script, and you're probably not going to ever have any gut laughs, ever. It could be the funniest thing on earth.
Yeah.
It's witty writing, it's well done, whatever, but you're not going to get timing, you're not going to get facial expressions, you're going to get nothing of that stuff out of it. Brian Dennehy, you know...
Oh, no, of course.
That guy, I mean... Even if he's in a dark movie, you're like, oh man, this guy's just giving it to me.
Don't fuck up the hood of my car.
And Todd Phillips, God bless him, you know, he's made money making comedies.
No, you got it right.
You find your niche. But this guy can't teach anyone, you know, actors can only do so much because the director, like it or not, tells them what to do.
Call, yeah.
And they'd be like, listen, I want to do this. And they're like, oh, yeah, go ahead and do that for a while. But he already got his take. Yeah, he already got his take.
No, you're right, because that I always tell a story to people. I don't know why I tell this story, but there's that episode one of the, not episode one, but season one episode of the Venture Brothers with the pirates. Mm-hmm. And there's the story that they tell about how when they were writing it, like the head of Adult Swim, who's like, I guess has to kind of okay things, you know, because, you know, they bought the show or whatever. He was like, this is just not working, guys. And like, but you know what? They can't all be winners. You're out of time. You have to send this one off. And then after he got the episode, he wrote a letter that said, like, okay, look, don't ever listen to me again. Right. Because this is hilarious. And so much of that episode gives me gut laughs. It's all the, like, main pirate guy just being like, they show the ghost and he's like, what? What? No way! Or he's like, well, we could have done that, you know? Right. Just, it's all performance.
I'll tell you someone else who's very Todd Smith-like, or Todd Phillips-like, except for he's a much more talented writer. Todd Phillips, I don't think, writes. He just takes someone's script and makes his deal with
and butchers
it.
He probably pitches
things as well. But Kevin Smith, I think you'll 100% agree with me. This guy writes funny lines, and then he's got crappy actors, and he's a crappy director delivering it.
Well, he goes with that.
Clerks
it's
is
a deadpan
like,
thing, you know? Clerk,
well, it's not just a deadpan thing.
You just rely on that every time.
Clerks is people who aren't actors saying something that wouldn't even be spoken by real people ever. And every once in a while, you're like, oh, that was kind of, yeah, that's an interesting thing they said. It's kind of, I guess, kind of funny with some swear words in it and whatever. And talking about 37 dicks. And every time there's been something that I've uncontrollably laughed at, the weirdest thing was in Dogma. It's generally like a J or a J thing,
of course,
because
that's performance.
It is performance, totally performance. But you know, he gives the same humorous lines to everyone. He gives people great lines. He's a great dialogue writer, but that doesn't mean he's a great director.
Yeah.
But there's this part in Dogma where they're going off with the Scion or whatever they call her, mm-hmm. and
they're driving the Scion.
He's like, and Jay convinces her to let him drive. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to them driving, and he's all excited, and it's a terrible high pitched noise, and there's smoke pouring from the hood, and she goes, "What gear are you in?" He goes, "Gear." And then it cuts to them with the car broken the side of the road. He was going like 100 miles an hour in first gear, something ridiculous like that. But it's the way he's, you know, like, and I laughed at that, and I didn't laugh at anything else in Dogma, which it's a stupid movie. But like Zach and Miri make a porno, there was like. The only things that were really funny were performance-based. There was, like, some Craig T. Robinson stuff. And there was things with, like, characters who walk in. Remember that part? Did you see it?
Yeah, we saw it together.
Yeah, remember the guy who walks in off the street to come to the coffee place? The door's closed. They're filming a porno.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just came from a Steelers game. And he's so drunk. And he says something ridiculous. And they give him a coffee for free. And he keeps saying, like, polite niceties. And he notices the naked girls and just kind of, like, ignores it and gets his coffee, and they're like, "No, just take it for free." And he's like, "Really? Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it." And he just kind of stumbles out of the door. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, it really takes someone selling it. Like, comedy writing is one thing, and comedy acting is another thing. But you need the top of that pyramid has to be somebody who knows how to direct those people. Some people can't do it. Woody Allen knows how to, you know, if he's. He's had different styles of movies, and he knows that a lot of it's editing, but I think a lot of it is also camera placement. You can't do a wide shot of someone saying a line. Sometimes you have to do like a wide angle lens, and like you almost have to do like a Danny DeVito type thing. That, you know, he for some reason loves using wide angle lenses on close ups of people responding to things, and it's. He didn't direct a Mouse Hunt, did he?
I don't know who directed Mouse Hunt. He might have.
That was Gore Verbinski. The Pirates of the Caribbean director.
Yeah.
And the Mexican, of course. Anyway, that was my hangover and angry Todd Phillips talk. We could probably chunk this into, you know.
If you would like to check the Futile Podcast out, you can go to www.graniteseed.com /Futile Podcast. You can search for us on iTunes, Futile Podcast. You can send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, guys.
He's giving it to me hard.